Hello and welcome to the Monocle Culture Show with me, Robert Bound. We're launching into March Madness with a musical roundup of some of the albums that have just come out or are coming out in the near future. There's plenty of great stuff being released by the likes of Karen O and Danger Mouse, the Cinematic Orchestra, Jenny Lewis and Lana Del Rey. But if you're a fan of early noughties middle-class dinner party music, then boy, is March 2019 the month for you. We see the return of both Dido and David Gray, whose albums No Angel and White Ladder, respectively, launched them both into stratospheric success around the turn of the millennium. Nearly 20 years on, can they make successful comebacks? Well, I'll be joined by the writer and podcaster Liv Siddle and chief rock and pop critic for The Times, Will Hodgkinson, to discuss and talk about some of the other records that will be spinning this month. Will and Liv, welcome to the programme. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Now, Dido's first two albums are two of the best-selling UK albums of all time, with No Angel selling over 21 million copies. In her career, she's also been nominated for an Oscar for the song If I Rise, which was featured in Danny Boyle's 2010 Trapped in a Canyon drama, 127 Hours. And apart from one album in 2013, Dido's been fairly quiet recently, but now she's back with a new record called Still On My Mind, which she's worked on with her brother, Rollo Armstrong, one of the founding members of Faithless. Do either or both of you want to have a little listen and then we can talk off the back of it?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, yeah,
let's
sure.
Will
made a face. Never mind.
I do want to listen.
It's a rhetorical question, really.
I do want to listen.
His idea.
I'm not being rude.
Guess who's back?
Dido.
Yep. It's not Slim Shady. It's not Stan. It's not that the thank you sample. Okay, so we've given this record a spin. Did we miss Dido in the interim?
Well, I think miss is a strong word, but I'm happy to see her back. For
okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, I just feel it's like nothing has changed. You know, no. I remember very well the year 2000.
Yeah.
And I remember where I was living at that time with my now wife. And the next door neighbour played Dido and David Gray every single day.
Okay.
And it was kind of the
great neighbour.
Yeah, great neighbour. Yeah. And it was sort of the beginning of, you know, it was that period when you had a generation who are probably, you know, late 20s, early 30s. The raving days are over.
Yeah.
You know, they're beginning to get into the middle class dinner party scene. And, you know, they wanted something that could play over the wherever the spiralizer and, you know, over the grind of the coffee machine.
Yeah.
You know, and just remind them a little bit of their disgusting youth with
yeah.
a few, you know, a few beats, but also have a bit of singer-songwriter introspection for the boring domestic world they are now entering into.
Well, thank you very much indeed for painting a picture. How much of this was happening in the Hodgkinson household at that point? I mean, it seems like this music was coming through the walls. Did you ever go, God, that sounds pretty good, I tell you what?
Well, you know what? I think now Dido is kind of remarkable because she's got this, I think, I mean this as a compliment.
I was going to say, I've got the damning with faint praise vibe coming
well,
off you already.
I mean,
here.
Damning with damnation, really. But, you know, I think what she's got is this incredible ability to sound phenomenally bored. And it's sort of it's her
that's,
singing.
That's cool detachment, surely.
Well, maybe. Yeah, yeah it's like kind of, oh, you know, oh, got to pick the kids up from school, got to put the washing on, got to make a 23 million selling album, you know, it's like
yeah. it's dedicate all the time yeah. equal to all of those.
Exactly,
tasks.
It's got that yeah. ability, and in a way, now you know, at the time, I was thinking, oh man, this is just the you know the yeah. dullest thing imaginable. But now, I actually feel rather fond of it because there's something very unpretentious about it. You know, there's something very she's not trying too hard, and it's the same with David Gray. And by the way, it really does sound like nothing has changed. You know, yeah. it's gone straight back to No Angel in 1999. I mean, the album, you know, it's still got that kind of subdued beats, bit of a nice acoustic guitar, Dido sounding a little bit bored as she sings about, you know how important it is to not check her phone because she's missing someone or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
Has anything changed for you, Liv?
Well, actually,
you're kind of, because you're a younger listener.
Yes.
You're a younger critic.
Well, actually, when Dido's No Angel came out, I was 11 in the year 2000, and Wow.
You're showing off now.
No, but it really, this sounds, I know when you're sort of that age, music has a big effect on you. And I suppose that age, you're meant to be sort of getting into, like, I know, something really cool or something that kind of liked it. And I was at the same time, but No Angel had a huge effect on me. And I remember being in class, writing all the lyrics onto my rough book. Because I was obsessed with Dido. And she really spoke to me. And honestly, back then when I heard it, I pictured living in London as a sort of 30, maybe 40-year-old woman and having dinner parties. And I was like, I can't wait to have this boring life.
Can I just ask, Liv, have you realised your dream?
Yeah.
In a way, I have. And actually, when I listen to it now, I mean, obviously you have these kind of ideas when you're that age of what your life's going to look like when you're a bit older. And obviously I don't have a house in Notting Hill that I live in and I own. And I haven't got a dog and a husband and a baby, but still got Dido. And she's still, there is something about it, even though you're right, it is slightly boring, but I do love that. And I do love the kind of, I love that she's not trying to kind of blow us away. She's not trying to make life sound interesting. In fact, you know, we spend most of our time doing laundry and admin anyway, so may as well have a soundtrack to that. Someone's got to do it.
I think you're being rather unfair to Dido. I mean, you're absolutely right about this stuff, but is it not very difficult to write just really good melodies and kind of structure these songs like this? There's something kind of old-fashioned good songwriting about it, is there not? Despite the kind of, there is a bit of tricksiness with the beats and there's a lot of production on this stuff, as you'd kind of expect, because she strangely, yeah, comes out of that the sort of faithless family, right? Which is proper dance music and proper, that kind of proper stuff. Although it had a lot of chill sides, the B-sides were all kind of chill. Is it not quite difficult to do this stuff, to make it seem so easy?
There are songs on this album which I think, firstly, you know, there's one, the first song is called Hurricanes. Mm. And I think it's about facing the hurricanes of life. And it's
have you ever considered a future in voiceover, as a voiceover artist?
Well, you know, I mean, journalism is getting thin on the ground these days. It's, you know, and the song is, I thought, was so dull, because it's just got the kind of, you know, you hear that repeated production and like a little loop that they've come up with. Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is really by numbers. But later on, I've got to say, some of these songs are really, really well structured. And you're right, they're very subtle.
And there's catchiness,
yeah. And there's not too much going on. And what's nice, I think it's quite a good time for Dido, because at the moment, everything's gone the other way. Everything's been very much rhythmic pop. It's been these kind of very cool sounds, very subdued, but in a different way, like kind of trying to sound cool. Whereas this isn't. It's actually, everything is, you know, the subtlety is what counts. So although it is kind of boring, you know, at the same time, it's got some kind of magic.
This came out of trip-hop and the Bristol sound and all this stuff, and it kind of got to this exceptionally, I don't know, like well-tuned Rolls-Royce, but kind of very streamlined thing, which became kind of Dido, right? I want to know, though, what were you listening to? What also were you listening to at the age of 11, Liv, when you were writing Dido lyrics on your rough book and dreaming of hot and cold running kind of cafe chairs?
Having a chocolate brown Labrador.
Yeah.
At the time, it was mostly anything I could get from my brother or sister's CD pile when they would leave to go to school.
Yeah.
So I would just go and steal their stuff. So that would be kind of Red Hot Chili Peppers and sort of grungy Pearl Jam, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Leftover from the 90s. And then also my mum would bring home CDs. So that's where Dido came from. And she brought home OK Computer, which was, I was really happy with that. And she brought home The Verve, Urban Hymns. And I think that was the only way I could get music. I didn't have any pocket money, I was only 11. So that was the only way I could get stuff. It wasn't sort of a romantic set of records, like those of old amazing stuff. But there was a lot of Neil Young, a lot of Bob Dylan. I didn't really access, the first single I bought, you know, everyone has got like a really cool answer. Mine was Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus.
Brilliant.
And then something.
I've got 2 tickets to Iron Maiden, baby. Song in a really high pitched voice. I love that
Obsessed.
Song.
And then the second single I bought was Stan. By Eminem with Dido on it.
Yeah.
So you've been on the Dido journey from an early age.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic journey.
If there was a Dido ride at Alton Towers or Disneyland, would you be first in the queue?
100%.
What would that ride be like?
It would be, you're in a duvet and you're going very slowly through a glass atrium that's being rained on. And you've maybe got a cup of tea and a cat with you.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of slowly travelling through hearing Dido.
It's a very tidy version of Tracy Emin's bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe a smell of Yorkshire puddings kind of being wafted in. Something.
Yeah.
I think that would be about right. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great, actually.
Sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah, there'd be a kind of maybe a craft beer at the end if you're feeling really, you know, being a bit out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. A well-crafted IPA.
Yes, exactly.
Dido. So No Angel by Dido. released in the year 2000, is the 10th best-selling album of the 21st century in the UK. The best is 21 by Adele, backed back by Amy Winehouse, and 25 by Adele. La, 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 la. But the names on that list, other than the Beatles, are Ed Sheeran, James Blunt, Leona Lewis, the 7th biggest-selling British album of the 21st century. Michael Bublé, Ed Sheeran, at 9. That's amazing, right?
I am surprised that Dido's on that. I love Dido, and I didn't actually know how big that album was. But I'm quite glad it is. I suppose it is quite. It just appeals to so much. It can be put on in cafes. It can be put in the kitchen when you're cooking. It can be put on in the car.
Yeah.
And also, I imagine that all the mums bought it to have in the car. Don't you think?
It was everywhere. It was everywhere. I mean, I remember that time so well. It was David Gray, and it's like I said, my neighbour. Yeah. And I also think it was the time. It was the beginning of the Hobbit trouser phenomenon, which is, you know, when grown men wear trousers that go just below their knees with a pair of Crocs.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, it's like, wow, time to slip into middle age. This was the period. Yeah. And I remember my neighbour, lovely guy. You know, it's first time I saw a pair of Crocs, first time I saw a pair of Hobbit trousers, and first time I heard someone listening on repeat to David Gray and Dido.
Did he end up big in IT?
He's actually became an artist.
Okay.
Well, he was an artist then, but he just had that kind of taste. And he was, you know, and the thing is that I think with a lot of these things, I can be terribly snobbish. And over time, you learn to respect things like this because you think, well, actually, it's not just bland. There's got to be something that talks to people about their lives to sell 22 million copies of an album. That is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to have something. So I think what Dido had, it's like you're saying, Liv, she's got this ability to sound just like so many other people. So it sounds like it's not, she's not hysterical, you know what I mean? She's like dealing with the problem of splitting up with someone, getting back together again, you know, and, you know, waiting around for the guy to come along and fix the washing machine.
But not in a hot way.
Oh, no.
Her vocal, I mean, her voice is so lovely. Yeah. It's very pleasant to listen to. I mean, when we listen to the album, the new album, I mean, it's still, even though I did find it a little bit boring, I still loved her voice because it's great. It's so pleasant.
And again, I had it on
very unaffected
in the house, and it's just not, it's good to have on.
Yeah.
There is something funny about that, and I wonder now we have two music writers in the room, what there is about that thing where you kind of feel like when you know you're enjoying something but you don't know whether you actually like it. Is that possible? Do you know what I mean? Where you can't, you have your critical faculty has to say something else because you know that it's kind of, you're on dodgy ground critically, but nonetheless you're sort of enjoying it. I wonder how that
but that's the same with everything,
manifests
that's,
itself.
But that's the same as if something doesn't speak to you personally at all, you know, it doesn't really have any deep effect on your soul, but it's kind of pleasant.
I like Dido.
I like Dido.
Because this made me get out all the... I say get out all the... go on to Spotify and make a playlist or listen to a few. And me and my wife found great pleasure dancing around this slightly drunkenly on Saturday to the back catalogue.
You know something else, this is often the case, and I'm sure you found this, Liv. You know, when you... I've interviewed Dido before.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, super
what
nice.
What was she like?
Just what you'd expect.
Potty really, mouth.
Yeah. No, she's just like a super nice person.
Yeah.
You know, she's really, really nice. And that's often the case. And so I've never interviewed Ed Sheeran, but people say he's very nice. It's often the case that people, because they're not tormented souls. You know, you interview someone like Lou Reed and he's a nightmare, but a genius. So the point is there's a place for that. You know, there's a place for someone who's got a real ability to sing, an empathetic person who can get these feelings out and in a straightforward way. And also something I respect about Dido, I don't think she particularly needs or wants fame.
No.
You know, I think she had this huge success and then she's been away, she's been having kids, she got married, she's had a very normal life. You know, probably she decided not to be someone who's recognised every time she walks down the street. And that's a pretty good way of handling big musical success.
Yeah.
A bit like what, sort of doing an Enya, like, you know, making all this music and then just retiring to a castle and then letting it kind of sink in and then making some more and then sort of hiding in the castle. She's sort of doing that, isn't she?
A little bit. I think Enya's a bit more extreme. I mean, she's really, you know, kind of...
She's really in the castle.
She's pulling up the drawbridge.
She's pouring quicklime on anyone that dare come across the moat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Apart from a few fairies, because they can fly there anyway.
Yeah. Doing an Enya.
Oh, she's tempting, doing
a,
isn't
she's
it?
She's doing an Enya. Yeah. So that's Dido. I really like this record. I kind of liked Dido. I didn't like Dido until we had to do this program, and then I listened
now
to loads of Dido, and then I'm like, God, actually, I like Dido. Anyway, who wants to listen to David Gray?
Me.
David Gray is on that list of the best-selling albums of the 21st century in the UK. So No Angel by Dido is number 10. White Ladder by David Gray is number 11. He started making music in the early 90s, but didn't gain attention until his LP White Ladder was released in the year 2000 and spent 3 years in the top 100 album charts. It sold over 7 million copies worldwide. It's the best-selling album in Ireland of all time. And now he's back with a new record called Gold in a Brass Age. This is David Gray. If fate were land, I would lift you clear of the ground, through the gates in the morning. And that was a clip of a track called If Eight Were Nine from an album called Gold in a Brass Age. Lots of equivalents going on for David there.
Yeah.
What do we think of David Gray?
I liked it. I thought it was actually, whereas the Dido album sounds very much like Dido did back then, he actually sounds very different.
Like UB40.
What's the connection with UB40?
It sounds a bit like UB40 in that clip.
Oh, that song. I don't know. I don't know if generally it doesn't. I mean, there's one song that sounds a lot like Van Morrison. There's one which kind of goes for a kind of 80s AOR, drive time rock, Chris Rea style. You know, it's quite different. But I would say with him, actually, he's a very different case because he had all of those years where he didn't make it, you know, then somehow he came up with this album that just hit the mood of the moment. And I think it was very, very unexpected. You know, he didn't expect it. No one expected it. And since then, he's actually kept working. You know, he hasn't sort of disappeared.
And the album that came out after White Ladder had a couple of really good tracks on it. I mean, he's a properly good singer-songwriter.
He's a very solid songwriter, yeah. And this album is kind of, it's quite subtle. It doesn't exactly leap out at you, but all the lyrics are interesting. They're very elliptical. They're quite literary. He's inspired by Raymond Carver. So it's a sort of subtle, but I mean, again, this is very much adult oriented music. It's not it's not stuff that kind of leaps out and grabs you, but I think it's kind of interesting.
So when David Gray, when you were nine, Liv.
Yes.
So David Gray, let's on the bit of the album that we've heard, what are your takes on David Gray?
I've got a lot of time for him.
Yeah.
And I think I've never disliked
not ironing,
David Gray.
Is it more like bath time or ironing time?
It's more like driving to a camping trip.
Okay.
It's car music. It's like mum's car music. Dad's car music. It's car music, and nothing against it. And I, even though his voice is very peculiar, I've always quite enjoyed it. He did a song. He did a cover of "Say Hello, Wave Goodbye," which is absolutely beautiful. I think he's very good, and I think this album sounds great. And I like that it's not just exactly the same as the old stuff.
Yeah.
I was reading, though, actually, in preparation for this, that Babylon... Thank you. Don't worry about it. Babylon by David Gray is used as a form of torture in...
Oh, no. What, in Guantanamo Bay or
yes.
something?
Yes. That's one of the most popular choices of torture song. They just play it really loudly.
They just put on Capital FM from
David,
the year 2000.
Poor
David.
I know
David. How they feel.
Is that your bedroom in wherever it was?
Yeah.
But like I think I could listen to quite a lot of it. I wouldn't be torture. Yeah. It'd be lovely.
Yeah.
He's very soothing, his voice. And I think he's great.
So this is, as I say, this is sort of classic singer-songwriter stuff. There were a few people floating around. It kind of seemed to bubble up at that time in his wake. Like, what have I said?
James Morrison, was he one?
Well, I think he was later. I'm thinking of Damien Rice and people
yes.
like that.
Damien Rice,
was a kind of like a bit of an Irish troubadour kind of dude who kind of just suddenly, you know, came up with one
everywhere.
Great album and suddenly, but it hasn't kind of built, it seems to have kind of come and gone, whereas someone like David Gray built on that, with lots of touring, I suppose, with lots of commercial sort of opportunities.
Those songs got
song.
Used as well. They got used on ads and they got used in films. It was definitely, it's a bit Richard Curtis, isn't it? You know, this kind of music.
When was Top Loader? Was that straight after David Gray?
Soon after.
Yeah.
Because that's a kind of similar, like, it's not as quiet and comforting and calm as Dido. It's sort of getting a little bit, we could put it on at the party. We could maybe have all the drinks or New Year's Eve drinks or something. That's kind of more.
Okay.
David Gray, maybe.
Is this in your fantasy life?
Yeah, completely, yeah.
Oh, actually, hang on. So,
on the way to the festival as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you're getting the hamper and, you know.
Okay. So I like this. So you're on, it's like Dido for main course.
Yeah.
David Gray for pudding and coffee. And whatever.
Some
light recreational drug use, possibly.
Yeah, and then Top Loader.
And then Top Loader for like the dance floor.
And
when you
then
push
maybe,
the sofas back against the wall.
Beautiful South a bit later
on.
Wow. We'll sing along.
However, I thought they'd be the starter.
No.
Really?
You've got to sing along for later. Starter maybe would be, what's even calmer than Dido? Like Simply Red? I don't know. Okay. Like around that time?
Following day.
Travis?
When you're feeling absolutely terrible, why not Enya?
There you go.
Break out some Enya. It can make you feel better with all the self-loathing kicks in. You know.
Enya is wonderful to listen to.
It really is. Yeah.
The next day, do an Enya.
Yeah.
Did too many top loaders last night.
Pull up the drawbridge.
Okay. Gold in a Brass Age is out now on AWOW. Actually, I'm going to be 42 this year, but I think my toe was dipped into the waters of David Gray by my mum, going, "Well, I want that CD for Christmas," and I was like, "Oh, come on!" And I'd only heard the single on the radio, and then we had it on in the house over Christmas or something. I was like, "Actually, that's pretty good."
This year's Love as a song, it's very beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
a lovely song.
If you hear that after a few glasses of wine, you might get a little tear.
Yeah,
not speaking from experience, but you know.
Do you want to go around? I kind of want to go to a house party at Liv's house in her imagination.
In the David Gray
Dido
dinner party.
I'm watching Cold Feet at the moment on Netflix.
The original series.
And that's very much the fantasy.
You appear to be living a complete early 2000s fantasy.
Yes, it's escapism. What
in your
I
house
say?
In, you know, you imagine your house in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, maybe I'd have David Gray round for some, what's a 90s dinner like? I don't know, like a salmon fillet.
Some blush tomatoes on a bed of
on a square plate.
Yeah, that sounds very granita.
Maybe we can have some juice on the side.
Oh, yeah.
That's Dido and David Gray. I like them both. You have to read between the lines of my guests on this programme. Now is the part of the programme where we talk about other things. Not necessarily that it reminds us of, because actually there's kind of a plethora of really good records out. We even, before we switched on the microphones, were talking about something new from Townes Van Zandt.
Townes Van Zandt.
Should we talk about that before we go into Julia Jacklin and Hand Habits? Townes Van Zandt, one of the progenitors of fantastic country music, a genius, dragged himself to death. But not before writing some of the most beautiful, plaintive stuff.
Well, if anyone wants to be introduced to Townes Van Zandt, I would suggest a song called Waiting Around to Die, which is one of the most beautiful songs. And he was, you know, his attitude, which is not one that I agree with, is that, you know, screw everything. Life is not worth living. All that matters is that, you know, all that you can hope for is that you might get a good song out of it. He was completely self-destructive. He was, you know, part of this sort of Austin, Texas-based, I didn't call it alternative country at the time, outlaw country, whatever you call it. It was songwriting, really. But it was very much, you know, you sort of, you know, you live the life to go with the music. It's not professional. It's, you know, you write brilliant songs, but it's about a life that you subscribe to. And, of course, he drank himself to death. But he wrote some absolutely beautiful songs, and I feel very... very powerful, very unpretentious again, but in a, you know, very deep. I mean, really, really kind of complex, troubled thoughts that he's dealing with, and yet couched in melodies that people can sing along to.
And it's such direct stuff. That is such beautiful songwriting. It's so direct. Talking earlier about Dido and that kind of, is there something weird? Is there something not? Clearly, there's nothing bad about it. Is there something almost underrated about that pure melody, that kind of pure songwriting you just like? Okay, so we point you in the direction of Townes Van Zandt, anything by him, but some new stuff coming out or old stuff coming out on Fat Possum. Liv, we've got two records here to spin. One is a new thing from Julia Jacklin. The second is something called Hand Habits, which is new to me. People might be familiar with Julia Jacklin, well reviewed by Will in the Times, I know. Let's give it a spin so people know what on earth we're talking about. That's new. It's called Pressure to Party from a new LP called Crushing by Julia Jacklin. Who is she, Liv?
Julia Jacklin is my new favourite person, actually. She's on the label Transgressive, and she's an Australian singer. And her new album is just... I heard a song from it called Body, and I was walking along listening to it, and I actually stopped. It stopped me in my tracks. I just sort of stopped and was listening to it because it's so cinematic. And this album is just full of lyrics that maybe potentially... I feel like I relate to a lot of the lyrics, actually. It's a kind of... It's a girl being sometimes a bit fed up or sort of rolling her eyes at men or... And it's just, it's about, in a similar way to Dido, it's about the quite humdrum aspects of relationships and life. And I just absolutely love it. And it's fantastic. And there's some real, like the one we just heard is quite an energetic song compared to the other songs on the record. But most of it is actually quite solemn, I suppose, compared to her last album from 2016, which was
such a
bit poppier. Yeah, so good. But yeah, she's absolutely, I think she's amazing.
Will this be making an appearance in your pages?
Judy Jacklin.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it. Yeah.
So I know you reviewed and loved that first LP. Where do we go? So this is a little bit of a kind of temperature change, maybe in the way that she's made the record. What's the difference between record one, record two, this new one called Crushing?
Well, first of all, it carries on in the kind of, I suppose, indie rocking tradition, which I've got a great soft spot for and always will have. I think it's probably, you know, she's a bit older, reading between the lines, listening to the songs. I think she's probably having a slightly harder time. I think she's split up with someone from the sound of it, which is always a good starting point for an album. This one, what I really like about it, and that song is a good example, she's very good at describing detail and putting, so it's the subject is something everyone can relate to, which is, you know, feeling misplaced and lonely and awkward at the wrong place at the wrong time. But the details are always really good. And I think that's something, it's quite Australian, that, you know what I mean? There's something quite, you know, the, not humdrum as such, but it's like, you know, you pull out little details about where you were and what happened and what what the house looked like.
Yeah.
And it sets the scene. And it doesn't alienate if you don't necessarily, you know, have seen or experienced those things. It doesn't matter. Because the feeling
is a songwriter's trick almost as well.
Kind of, yeah. It's very natural, it seems. Yeah. So yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, it's straightforward. It's not changing anything, but it's done really well.
Hand Habits, Liv Soddle.
Soddle. Hand Habits by Liv Soddle.
Soddle.
I didn't say Soddle.
You're not the first Soddle. And you won't be the last. It's fine. It's that old fiddle. Get fiddled quite a lot. That's a bit seedy, that, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's not right. Seedy. No, it's not right. I've got Splodgkinson.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah. Splodgkinson.
Yeah. Splodgkinson. Hodgy podgy fat and stodgy, which I never was, I might add.
No, I can't quite imagine you.
Hodgy podgy fat and stodgy. That is so good.
Hand Habits, Liv. Talk Will and I through this. Should we have a clip first?
Yes.
Okay. Well, just that little clip reminds me of a lot of things I like.
Really? Like what?
Yeah, well, like the Wall era Pink Floyd, for a start. That sort of very flat drumming and that kind of... And it sounds almost, it sounds lovely. That's clearly the one moment that sounds like that, because that met very stony ground here in Studio 2.
Well, a lot of the records, I love how the record sounds like a lot of the instruments are very far away. It's kind of echoing, and Meg Duffy, who is Hand Habits, her voice is so gentle and calm, and you're kind of on this lovely sort of... She's from LA, or she lives in LA, and I feel like the whole record is kind of sun-drenched like that, and it's got this very slow feeling and lovely slow drums. Everything's just very easy and wonderful and sun-drenched.
It definitely sounds like it comes from a state that's legalised cannabis.
Yes, probably.
In a very good way. No, it doesn't, though. It's really lovely. It has got a lot of sun in it.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of look. It's kind of a happy staring at the sun kind of vibe.
Yeah, and actually her first album, which is called Wildly Idle, Humble Before the Void, is similar. But in this album, she's just sort of on this cusp of, like, every song you kind of want her to let rip, and she never quite does, so it's kind of like a tension there.
Yeah.
And it's just so wonderful. And then the album sort of ends in this beautiful song, which is about her mother, who sadly passed away when she was younger. And the album kind of leads out with this wonderful saxophone that comes in. And you're kind of like, it just feels like you're sort of standing on a cliff in LA looking across. It's just so, lots of feelings. It's wonderful.
Don't
really
be afraid
it.
Of the feels.
Never.
Liv, thanks for introducing us to Hand Habits. The album called Placeholder is out now on Saddle Creek. Julia Jacklin's Crushing is out now on Transgressive Records. Before that, of course, we kicked off with Dido, Still On My Mind. That is out now. And David Gray, Gold In A Brass Age. And that brings us to the end of today's programme. My thanks to Will Hodgkinson and Liv Siddle, a.k.a. Will Splodgkinson and Liv Soddle, respectively. And, of course, my thanks to my producer, Holly Fisher. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much for tuning in.